If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John tonight. I really don't know exactly how this is going to go tonight, but I just want to share a few things with you. We've been preaching out of the book of John. We're going to go over and read those verses in the end of the book. The last verse in John said, "And there also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." And then in John chapter 20 and verse 30, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." And I say this again, in case you didn't get to hear it, but I believe there's two things being taught in that verse of Scripture. Number one, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's talking about a salvation experience, a new birth, coming to Christ as a sinner and being saved by the grace of God. And then he said, "And that believing you might have life through his name." And I believe that's talking about going beyond the salvation experience into an abundant Christian life, a victorious Christian life, being able to live for him that died for us. Amen. And so John was written, the word of God said, that you might believe. God wants to increase our faith. He wants to help us. Now, tonight, we've had the Bible school meeting. We got started late. It's already 6:45. And I want to just try to be mindful tonight of the Lord and his Spirit. But I want to share some things with you tonight from John chapter 7. We'll pick up a little bit in the latter end of chapter 6. I went through the Bible, and I think I read this at least 3 times in its entirety, slowly meditating, and God began to show me a few things in the chapter. There are no miracles going on in chapter number 7. There are really no, big events, so to speak, but there's some things that are recorded, and the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So even when you're reading something like the genealogies in the Old Testament, God had a reason for putting it there. Amen. And that reason, the Word of God said, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Let me call your attention to a couple of things, and then this will kind of launch us into the chapter. We'll back up into chapter number 6 just a little bit. Notice, if you will, in verse number, 46 of chapter number 7, the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Jesus is doing a lot of talking in chapter number 7. And when people listened to him, they came to the conclusion, "We've never heard anything like this before." Well, I believe, I tell you what, right now, I believe we'd spend a few days with Jesus, we'd say the same thing. Never heard anything like this before, amen. What a Savior that we have. Now, I want you to notice this. Look at verse 43. The Bible said, "So there was a division among the people because of him." The thought passed through my mind today. If I were to ask you what two kinds of people are there in Washington, D.C., you would probably say Republicans and Democrats. But the honest truth of the matter is there's saved people and lost people. Amen. Jesus and the cross divides men into two categories. One lady said one time when she testified, "Either you is or you ain't. You're a child of God, amen, on your way to heaven, or you need to be born again." It's one way or the other. Jesus said, "He that's not for me is against me. He that gathereth not in scattereth abroad." There's no middle ground. Heard a lot of fence-straddling preaching down through the years, but there's one problem. You can't find it in the Bible. You're either in his field or you're in the devil's field, amen. You can't have one foot in each field. So I want to call your attention to a couple of things quickly. First of all, if you'll just look at the chapter with me, I just wanted to talk about him for a minute. The chapter, I believe, is about him. The Bible said the division was because of him. Look back in verse number 1. I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm just going to read some phrases. The Bible said the Jews sought to kill him. It was about him. Verse number 5, neither did his brethren believe him. I want you to see that. Look in verse number 11. The Jews sought him. But now they weren't seeking him for the right reason. Watch in verse number 12. There was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Can you see it now? Watch it now. It's about him. Watch what the Word of God said. And the Bible said in verse 26, lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. The Bible said there, I believe it was in verse number 31. Verse number 30. Then they sought to take him. Verse number 31, and many of the people believed on him. And then the Bible said here, but this spake he of the Spirit, verse 39, that they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because the Jesus was not yet glorified. And then the Word of God said there was a division because of him in verse number 43. And then in verse number 48, they asked the question, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? And then Nicodemus speaks up in verse number 51 and says, doth our law judge any man before it hear him? I want you to understand that chapter number 7, Jesus, over and over and over again, is saying some things that are troubling the hearts of mankind. I believe that if we would read his word, we too could be troubled at some of the things that we read in his word. Jesus is going to give us some things here to think about tonight. First of all, what's causing the division? I want you to look with me, if you will. Go back over to chapter number 6. The Lord brought my attention to this. The Bible said in verse number 60, we've seen the multitude fed. We've seen Jesus walk on the water. We've seen the discourse on the bread of life this morning where he said, I am the bread of life. But when it got down to where the rubber meet the road, beloved, trouble came. Jesus said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now watch verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Let me just say this tonight. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's why a lot of Baptists have given up on repentance. It's a hard saying. That's why a lot of people have given up on Holy Ghost conviction being needed for salvation. But beloved, let me tell you, because they don't understand it, don't mean it's not so. You still have to be saved by the grace of God by coming under that convicting power of the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God can birth an individual into the family of God. And beloved, you've got to come to Calvary, broken over your sin, and realizing that he took your place on that cross. Now watch this. As long as it was good for the belly, as long as it was filling up the belly, they were ready to follow. They were ready to go. But many of his disciples, they heard, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And here's the little phrase that I circled in my Bible. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. And the Bible said here, Jesus said, first thing I want to give you, what's causing the division, it's not my word and not your word, but it's God's word. That's what's dividing the people, amen. You see it there? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you, he said, that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Now notice verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You say whatever you want to. This blows my mind. This is a people that have watched Jesus take two fishes and five loaves and feed 5,000 men, and yet Jesus comes down here and says, listen, what I'm trying to teach you is my body's going to be broken. My life is going to be given. You're going to have to come to me for salvation. And you're going to have to come to me for eternal life. It gets a little bit tough. And when it got tough, many of them went the other way. They went away. Amen. I want you to know, listen, the words that Jesus spoke here are important. Jesus said in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? It looks to me like the crowd has really thinned out, beloved. Amen. Now he's just talking to the 12, and he says, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to go away? Watch what they said. Peter, he's always that one that wants to speak up. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter had sense enough to know. He's criticized a lot. But he had sense enough to know, listen, I'm glad I'm just a country boy, Brother David. But I'm glad I got sense enough to know there ain't nowhere else to go. You can just go to Jesus, listen, or you can go to hell without Jesus. It's one way or the other, amen. Christ is still the divider of men, amen. Believers and unbelievers. He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we see the words. That's what's happening here. The words that Christ is sharing in this chapter. The word of God is, my friend, dividing men. I want you to notice in verse number 6. Here's another thing that divides men. Chapter 7, verse number 6. Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. My time is not yet come. The second thing I see in the chapter that divides men is the wait. They were in a hurry, but Jesus said, my time is not yet come. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us today? Well, some are scoffing. Some are mocking. Some are saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, we've been hearing this. Amen. But I want you to know, beloved, that weight is dividing men. Some are standing there with expectation saying, God, you said it. We're looking for you. And you're coming again, just like you said. And others are mocking at the truth of God's word. Beloved, the weight. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is not just a saying, but it's something that I believe we need to get in our heart. There are some things that are worth waiting for. Amen. I'll tell you something, it's in my heart to say this, young people, I didn't plan on it, but the right young man is worth waiting for. The right young lady is worth waiting for. Somebody say amen. The Savior of the world that's coming to get you and I is worth waiting for. Amen. Well, just wait on him and wait on him and work for him till he comes. Then in verse number 7, there's something else that's dividing men. He said, The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Beloved, listen to me. This is not preached much these days, but the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, he said, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me just say this. I heard this years ago, and I believe it's worthy of repeating. There's nothing wrong with having things. When it becomes wrong is when things have you. Amen. I'm telling you, to have a nice home, there's nothing wrong with that. Nice vehicles, nice clothes, there's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, beloved, if those things keep you from the house of God and keep you from the God of the house, somebody say amen, then, beloved, what a junket! We'd be better off to be a pauper. Amen. Than to have anything that would come between us and our Lord. So we see the words of Christ dividing out, separating the weight, the world. But I want you to notice this. Really, this is key in the chapter. The Bible said in verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work. Listen. If it weren't for the way that we're studying the Bible in the book of John, I would have missed this. All of this has happened in chapter number 6. You have Jesus walking on the sea. You have him feeding the 5,000. You have the discourse on the bread of life. But here's, listen, get me right here. The Jews still haven't got over what happened at the pool of Bethesda in chapter number 5. Beloved, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. And beloved, immediately they got it in their heart. We got to do something about this bird. He healed a man on the Sabbath day. Watch it now. Jesus said, I have done one work and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it was is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole? On the Sabbath day, the Bible said here, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I'm telling you, beloved, they're still upset. It's in their heart. They're going to carry out their plan. You remember John chapter 1. He came unto his own. Yes, he did. But his own received him not. But thank God to as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Right here in the chapter, beloved, the Bible said in verse number 31, and many of the people believed on him. Let's read it in its context. Verse number 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple. I underlined that twice in my Bible. He's crying out in verse number 37. He's crying out in verse number 28. He said, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then the Bible said they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than what this man has done? I mean, it's early in the book of John, and there's some saying already, listen, if this is not the Christ, when he does come, will he do more than what this man's already done in our midst? They had enough that common sense, that stable thinking, horse sense, amen. They had enough sense to know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the one they were looking for. Let me give you this. It's dividing men. His words, the weight, the world, his work. I've done one work, he said, and ye all marvel. But here's something else that's dividing men. Look in verse 33. He said, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. I called this a warning. Beloved, Jesus told him, just a little while, I'm leaving. And I want you to know something, he said. He said, I'm with you now for a little while, and I'm going to go to him that sent me. And he said, there's going to come a day you're going to seek me, but you're not going to be able to find me. That's what scares me to death Sunday after Sunday, when people come to the house of God lost and they leave the house of God lost and it seems like they're not interested. I'm going to tell you something right now. The day will come when they'll seek him. And beloved, listen, the day will come when he won't be there to be found. That's what the Word of God is saying. Jesus tells them here, listen, he said, I'm sounding a warning. The Son of God standing in front of you, and you better pay attention. Amen. He said, you'll seek me. The Bible said over there in the book of Revelation, they're going to cry out to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us. There are men that are going to listen, you can read it in your Bible. They're going to want to die. They're going to seek death and not be able to die. I'm telling you, it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. But you stand and preach that in these days that we live in and try to sound the warning, and people look at you like you've lost your mind. I'm going to tell you, the preacher of this book's not lost his mind. He just found God's mind. Jesus right here in John chapter 7 is warning them. He said, I'm going back to the Father. The day's coming you're going to seek me, but I'm not going to be there to be found. And where I am, how'd you like to be told tonight? How'd you like to be told that where Jesus is, you can't go? They sang this morning in the invitation, every hope I have in this world is in the blood of the Lamb. Somebody said, do you have a retirement program? Another preacher said, yes, said it's out of this world. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus is sounding a warning. Then the last thing I see here that divides men, you know, you say, preacher, how can the warning divide men? Well, some have received God's warning, and some have rejected it. Some have taken God at his word when he said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Over in the book of Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. Beloved, I'm telling you, I have some things I'm going to try to do tomorrow, but I have no guarantee that I'll see tomorrow. But I'll tell you this, I have a guarantee I'll see Jesus. I have a guarantee that I'll be clothed in his likeness and that I'll be transported. Amen. I have God's word on that, and I'm thankful, so thankful for that. Watch this tonight. The last thing that's dividing the men and in this generation and every generation. Look in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast. This was the Feast of Tabernacles. I went over and read up on that a little bit today. It was reinstituted in the book of Nehemiah, where the children of Israel were to make booths. They were to do two things. I believe it lasted 8 days. Brother Long, is that right? The Feast of Tabernacles, I believe it lasted 8 days. They were to do two things. They were to rest, and they were to praise God. They were just, in other words, come apart a little while. Somebody said one time, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. Amen. Just come apart and rest a while. And that's what's going on here. And Jesus comes into the Jerusalem in the midst of the feast. And then at the end of the feast, the last day, verse 37, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living what? You know what makes the difference between those that are for him and those that are against him? The precious water of the Holy Ghost that's inside of us. Amen. The Bible said here, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Beloved, you're looking at a preacher that does not believe. You come down here one Sunday and get saved and come back another Sunday seeking the Holy Ghost. I believe, beloved, listen, if it's not the Spirit of God that birthed you into the family, that sealed you into the family, then, beloved, you didn't get it in the family. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said, or the Bible said, Paul in Romans said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's what the Word of God said. And by the way, I'm going to just say this tonight. This is the truth that's being missed. Being Spirit-filled, it's not about you and I getting more of him. Is everybody listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, being Spirit-filled. Listen, I got all of him I'm ever going to get when I got saved. But being Spirit-filled is about him getting more of me. That's what being Spirit-filled is about. That's why the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You say, preacher, what happens when somebody gets drunk? I tell you what happened. They come under the influence of alcohol. You know what God wants us to do? Come under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Be able to hear him whisper, give that lady a tract. Be able to hear him whisper, go to the book of Psalms. Be able to hear him whisper, somebody needs a text message.
Somebody needs a phone call. Somebody needs a visit. Somebody's discouraged. And just to be able to be sensitive to his voice. What a blessing that is, beloved. The Bible said, he that believeth on him, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Can I just tell you what they're doing? They're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. The Son of God is standing right there with them. Watch this now. He said, so there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. I'm going to get to something in a minute. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers said, glory to God. In other words, why haven't you already arrested him? They said, we've been listening. They never man spake like this man speaks. I believe God is dealing with hearts, don't you? Watch what the Bible said. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? In other words, we might take a little bit of stock in this man and his message if some of the higher-ups in our religion, are you listening? If they had believed on him, maybe we could see this going somewhere. And I want you to know something right now. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And beloved, listen, these Pharisees and these Sadducees, they missed it. But there's one Pharisee that didn't miss it. The Bible said here in verse 49, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. These that are believing on Christ, the Pharisees are standing there saying they don't know the law and they're cursed. How many knows they weren't cursed? They were blessed because they believed on the Lord Jesus. What? By the way, beloved, they always get it backwards when you're on the wrong side of the fence. You always get it backwards. Look at verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, I like this, he that came to Jesus by night, you remember that? Being one of them. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? In other words, Nicodemus just points out something. Does our law judge any man before it hears him? How foolish would that be to judge a man before you even hear him? And because he said that, they said, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. I just want you to know tonight, I believe God saved Nicodemus. I don't see any reason in this world why Nicodemus would be saying what he's saying here had God not been dealing in his heart, and why Nicodemus would be interested in burying, helping with the burial of our Lord had God not dealt in his heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. This was an organization in that day. You remember the young man that was born blind and Jesus healed him? The parents wouldn't even say who healed him. You know why? They feared getting kicked out of the synagogue. Let me tell you something right now. If standing up for Jesus gets you kicked out, whatever it is you're getting kicked out of, you need to be kicked out. Amen. Brother Long, down through the years, Brother Larry, I'm sure people have asked you this down through the years, God's men, preachers. They say, whose camp are you in? Years ago, that meant, well, are you in Rice's camp, or are you in Howell's camp, or are you in this camp or that camp? I can't even remember. But the one camp I do remember is the Jesus camp. I would always say to them this, I'm not in anybody's camp. I'm outside the camp. Hebrews, read it over there, with Christ. Say amen. That's a good place to camp. Camp with Jesus. Beloved, tonight, there was a division among the people because of him. You know, we shouldn't be surprised. Listen to me. Do y'all understand that we have people in Washington, they're not interested in a border because really what they want is a one world system. Do you understand that that's what the Bible's teaching? Amen. And beloved, do you understand that it's going to happen? It's going to happen. I'm not saying we shouldn't stand for what's right. We should. But I'm telling you, in this day in chapter 7, and today in 2019, there's still a division among the people because of him. There's saved and there's lost. There's heaven and there's hell. By the way, beloved, over here, you can have happiness. But only over here can you have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, happiness is determined by what's going on around you. But joy is determined by what's going on inside of you. And I'm telling you, you can have joy when everything around you is wrong. You can have joy down on the inside because Jesus lives there. I'm just glad you come tonight. I tell you tonight, I hope that helped you. I read the chapter, read it, and that's how God spoke to my heart. There's still a division. And the words of Christ, we can still say today, never a man spake like this man. Amen. I want to say, what a Savior tonight. What a Savior. What a Savior. Every one of us should leave here praying, God, this week, don't let me be a Dead Sea. Let me be a Jordan River. Let the rivers of water flow. Does anybody know what makes the Dead Sea dead? It has an inlet, but it doesn't have an outlet. That's what makes it dead. I fear that in our generation, people come to church hungry. They go to Sunday school hungry, and they want to be fed, and they want to be fed, and they want to be fed. But I tell you, God wants us to share what we've been fed. God wants us to share what we've been blessed with. The Bible even teaches over there, working with our hands, that we may have to give to them that are in need. Amen? And I believe God's in that, don't you? Be looking this week for somebody to be a blessing to. I believe God will bless your heart for that. Amen? Say, God, I don't want to be a Dead Sea. I want to be a river. I want you to be able to run it through me. Several years ago, I can't even remember the details now, but in 24 hours, I gave and received $100 four times in 24 hours. I remember how it started. A lady counted out the money for my cabinets that I built for her. That's how I made a living, Brother Long, when I was starting out with Rock of Ages. And she counted out what she owed me. She said, looky there. There's two left. She said, one for me, one for you. $100 bill. My son came and helped me finish hanging them that evening because I couldn't hold them, put the screws in it too. I've not learned to be as good as Brother John Dockery. He can do that all by himself. Amen. But anyway, he came to help me hang the cabinets. He worked about an hour and a half, and I gave him $100. He said, Dad, I haven't worked out $100. I said, I know, son, but your truck needs a pressure plate and a clutch in it. I said, I hope that will help you. And I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. You just let it go. Amen. And God will bless you. I want to say this to the church. I thank you for what you did for Brother Don. He sent me a text this morning. He traveled today and be gone next week in revival. And our Wednesday night prayer meeting, we gave Brother Don $500 last Wednesday night. And that was a blessing to that man of God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, God will bless our church for taking care of God's men and the missionaries. Amen. Appreciate them. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Thank you for coming.